You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Without compromise, and let your sweet gospel, your promise of forgiveness, healing, and eternal hope, let this message be always clearly proclaimed. In Jesus' intercessory name we pray, amen. If someone asked you to make a wish for anything in the entire world, what would you ask for? Many years ago, King Herod told Salome, his teenage stepdaughter, "Whatever you ask of me, I will give it to you, up to half of my kingdom." This was a terrible mistake. The foolish king was soon to be shocked. His stepdaughter said, "I want you to give me, right away, the head of John the Baptist on a platter." Imagine this terrible, treacherous request. It is graphically explained in the Bible, and this is how this terrible tragedy all happened. King Herod had made a trip to Rome. He had stayed with his half-brother Philip. He enjoyed the gracious hospitality. However, Herod also sinfully seduced his brother's wife, and they were soon united in an adulterous marriage. Now, however, other problems developed. John the Baptist, the fearless preacher, was in the area and he heard about all of this. In no uncertain terms, he told Herod, "It is not right for you to possess your own brother's wife." This irritated Herod to no end, and Herod did not want to be constantly reminded of his sin. Herod's wife, you see, was even more angry. In fact, she was furious. She was blinded with rage and she tried every trick in the book to get her new husband to kill this fiery preacher. According to the Bible, however, King Herod was afraid of John the preacher. Herod knew that this God-sent prophet was a righteous man. And whenever Herod heard John preaching, the Bible says, he was very perplexed. Yet the Bible states King Herod enjoyed listening to John the Baptist. This sounds like some of us today. We are involved in sin. We know in our consciences that it is wrong. We go to church. We listen to the preacher explain the will of God. And like with guilty King Herod, these sermons disturb our consciences. However, we find them interesting and even sometimes enjoyable. As a result, so often for us like King Herod, these sermons have no actual impact on our lives. Nothing changes. These sermons sound nice, but we don't take them seriously. Sure, we may even agree that through the preacher, God may be speaking to us. Yet we enjoy our lusts and our secret sins so much, and they have become such a convenient habit that we arrogantly refuse God's gracious call to turn from sin. We reject His love. We rebuff His grace. We refuse God's forgiveness, and we turn away from His divine healing. Now let's talk about clever King Herod once again. This fox thought he had everything under control, and by playing his cards right, he could delay indefinitely his wife's wicked, murderous intentions toward John the Baptist. At the same time, he was conniving. Herod thought he could save the righteous preacher who disturbed him. This preacher not only disturbed him, as the Bible says, remember, but this preacher's sermons were also greatly enjoyed by the king. All of a sudden, however, the unexpected happened. One spring for his birthday, Herod gave a huge banquet. He invited all of the lords of the country, the military commanders, and the other leading men of the nation. Finally, the long-awaited banquet date arrived. The castle was brilliantly lighted. There was great music. They celebrated for hours. And after much food and excess drink, their appetites became exhausted. And according to one historian, as a result, I quote, "The king had nothing new to offer his overindulged guests. No food, no drink, and no fresh excitement. And so let the other sinful pleasures begin. Into the banquet hall comes sexually sensuous Salome, the daughter of Herod's wicked and scheming adulterous wife. She danced, and oh, did she dance, driven by the devilish suggestions of her conniving mother. This beautiful young lady employed every move and facial suggestion available to tempt the most crude imagination of Herod's male guests. sensuous Salome brought the licentious house down. This pleased Herod very much, and in his drunken stupor, he felt obligated to reciprocate. And in a foolish move, when he should have kept his mouth shut, Herod stupidly announced in front of all of his country's leading citizens, I quote, "Ask me for whatever you want, and I will give it to you." And again, the Bible says Herod repeated his promise to his stepdaughter with an oath. "Whatever you ask of me, I will give it to you up to half of my kingdom." This was a moment of truth, and John the Baptist was also immediately directly involved. As the Baptist lay under cold chains in a nearby prison, the fate of the righteous God-sent preacher was now sealed. Meanwhile, back at the castle, the young sensuous dancer had heard the king's promise. The devil was guiding her thoughts. She ran quickly to consult her scheming mother, and the Bible then says, "And immediately the stepdaughter came in haste before the king. She said, 'I want you to give me right away the head of John the Baptist on a platter.'" This radical request hit the drunken king like a ton of bricks. The Bible then says, although the king was very sorry, he knew that he had made a terrible mistake, and yet because of his oaths and because of his dinner guests, he was unwilling to refuse her. Herod had opened his mouth, he had made a public promise in front of all of these people, and now he had no way of turning back without losing his own honor. And so the Bible states the king sent an executioner and commanded him to bring back the head of John the Baptist. The Bible states he went and had John beheaded in the prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl. And now imagine this, and the girl gave it to her mother. Those of you who are mothers, could you imagine your child bringing you someone else's head on a platter? This terrible and tragic termination of John the Baptist's life has the power to upset even the coldest criminal conscience. It was unnecessary, absolutely unnecessary. This man, John, was an innocent preacher, and even more so, he was a forerunner and the introducer of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The ministry of John the Baptist was brief. The major portion lasted only about 1 year, but the results were striking. Historians estimate that John the Baptist baptized up to 250,000 people in his short ministry. Now, however, the needed gospel voice of the wilderness was silenced. No more would the urgent life and hope-offering cry of the baptizer echo through the Jordan Valley. This was indeed tragic, but we today have a similar situation. Our generation is also in desperate need of another John the Baptist, an unfearful voice of God, willing to call sin, sin, an uncompromising voice announcing God's total and unconditional forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Yes, a powerful voice calling people from the shame of sin to the heavenly hope of the gracious and glorious gospel of the Savior. Ladies and gentlemen and young people, let us also pray for preachers today who possess an unwavering voice to call divorce a sin, period. Gossip, sin. Failure to be involved in our neighbor's needs, sin. Not attending church regularly and holding the preaching of the Word of God in contempt, sin. Overeating, sin. Demonically driving for self-fulfillment at the expense of others or members even of our own family, a terrible sin. And then let us also pray for godly spiritual leaders who appoint all people to the source of forgiveness and the only true hope of everlasting life. Preachers who will appoint all men to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, to some it may seem that John the Baptist was a failure. Yet, in fact, John had succeeded completely in his primary task. He had introduced the Lord Jesus Christ, this Jesus who would soon authoritatively announce that he did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. On this teaching, you see, your destiny and mine hinges. This, you see, is the most important teaching of the entire Bible. And since it is so crucial, let me explain it this way. News reports on television and radio and in newspapers constantly give accounts of kidnappers who hold their hostages for a ransom. When the ransom or the price is paid, the hostages are released. In the same way, when you and I live in constant and willful sin, we are hostages or prisoners of the devil. Salome, Herod's stepdaughter, was also a hostage of the devil. Satan, then, is in control of our lives, but there is a reliable hope. There is a way out. There is an open door to this prison. It is in the innocent life, the bloody death, and the victorious, devil-defeating resurrection of Jesus. You see, when Jesus died, His death defeated the devil. And our Savior's death burst the grip of temptation and sin. Jesus was born for this purpose, the Bible says, to destroy the works of the devil. Your sinful habits don't need to guide your life anymore. There can be a change in your life, and it can begin at this hour. A change in your life can begin this very moment. Your hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in Him, and trust in His almighty power alone. Now, I would not be at all surprised as you listen today that you find this explanation of a basic biblical teaching interesting. However, let me point this out. If this is all it means to you, that it's just interesting, then you better be careful. Don't do what Herod did. Herod found the sermons of the most popular preacher of his day interesting, but that's about as far as it went. Herod refused to repent. Herod refused to change his ways. Herod did not want to receive God's love and grace, and Herod did not want to trust in the promised Savior from sin. Herod loved the world and all of its temptations. You see, Herod did not want to turn his face to God, and as a result, Herod died in his sins, and Herod paid the eternal price. This same thing can happen to every one of us today. This is what the Bible teaches. Preachers who preach powerfully against sin and announce the pure gospel are not always popular. But always remember, godly preachers who ask their people to repent, their message is not their own. This type of preaching is obediently following the pattern of ministry established by Jesus. At the very beginning of His ministry, the Bible points out, Jesus said, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Dr. C.F. W. Walther, the founder of the church body which sponsors this program of hope, stated this, "The trouble with many of our people today is that they have never truly repented." Yes, Jesus is asking you to believe the gospel. Believe the good news of total forgiveness and a certain and sure eternal hope. Believing the gospel does not mean merely acknowledging Jesus as a great religious teacher. Believing the gospel does not mean becoming involved more in religion. Believing the gospel means to trust that the perfect life that Jesus lived is a substitute for your sins, for your mistakes, and for your failures. Believing in the gospel means to trust in the innocent blood of Jesus Christ. This bloody sacrifice on the cross of Calvary was accepted by God as a worthy sacrifice for your sins and mine. Believing the gospel means to trust fully and only in this sin-cleansing blood of Jesus. The innocent blood which ran down the rugged wooden cross of Calvary has the power, the Bible states, to save your soul from the temptation of all those sins which come to you every day. And it has also the power to save your soul from the fires of hell. Yes, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's own Son, cleanses us from all sins. In the stripes, in the scourgings, in the bloody beatings of Jesus, you and I and all guilty sinners are healed. We are cleansed. We are renewed. We are given strength. And we are given an eternal hope and an eternal life. Oh, yes, King Herod had asked his stepdaughter to name her wish, whatever she wanted in the entire world. And she answered, "I want right now the head of John the Baptist." What a terrible, despicable wish that was. If someone asked you today what you want more than anything else in the entire world, I hope and I pray that you would respond by saying, "I want peace in my heart and a reliable, totally trustworthy, eternal hope for my soul." If this is actually your wish, then when you turn from the world and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and in Jesus alone, your greatest wish shall be granted unto you by the power and the promise of God. Your greatest wish is yours in Jesus Christ. There is absolutely no doubt about it. And now listen again to Jesus as He is saying to you, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." This loving and gracious command from Jesus to believe is for you. Yes, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Amen.